Quiet, please.
You're listening to Birdies and Bogeys, hosted by Jordan Bloxham and Weston Mon, bringing you golf's week in review, recapping your favorite tournaments with professional insight from their perspective. Now, quiet, please. Here's your hosts, Jordan and Weston.
Weston, how are you?
Oh, I am just doing so great. The, the final season of the season.
The final episode of the season.
There we go.
Following the tour championship. And a lot to talk about. Like, there's a lot of other stuff, right?
Oh.
There's a first-time winner on the LPGA Tour. Blah. We're just doing this with the PGA Tour season. But, I mean, for now, it may end up changing in the future. Steve Stricker won again on the Senior Tour.
Ghost Tricks.
And then Lingmerth won to get back on the PGA Tour. He wins the Korn Ferry event. Nice. And Taryn Lawrence, I think, won on the DP World Tour. Beat I'm drawing a blank on his name. He played a lot of PGA Tour stuff, sponsored by Jay Lindeberg. Oh,
Victor Hovland?
No, obviously Victor was not playing him in the DP World Tour. You'd know him if you heard it.
Well, I'm sure.
All blonde, man.
Doesn't matter. It's a DP World Tour.
Yeah, and you Matt get Wallace.
Mad at me for it. Matt Wallace.
In the playoff. But yeah, and I did watch that. And didn't watch any of the, well, I watched like two shots maybe of the ladies tour, watched zero of the thing, but I did watch the tour championship or the PGA's net club championship, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, no, I saw that on the notes. I was like, this is so good. There's the gross and the net flight. So
net flight. I don't know. Does Rory get to choose which one he takes? Whichever one he wins the most money and he gets to take, right? That's how they break that up. No, but Rory wins the tour championship. Comes from six back on the final day. And it was funny to listen. Like, I do it just because it's the only place to get, like, golf coverage is the Golf Channel. As much as right now I like despise it just because they're so hard in one way on the whole live PGA Tour thing.
Yeah. But
I mean, I will say this, they are the PGA, the official channel of the PGA Tour. So, I mean,
they are.
That's fine. But at some point, if you want to be the Golf Channel, you have to be equal across the board, right? You have to start saying stuff. There's obviously some things that need to happen, but it's nothing that the PGA Tour does it bad. They're like, oh, yeah, they needed to make changes. But I was listening to them, and they're like, oh, you know, Scotty, after coming out, because they had the suspension due to the weather on Saturday, so they Scotty had, he was in the fairway with six holes, so he basically went four under his last six holes.
Yeah,
and they're like, oh my gosh, he's on fire. He's just there. He's got all the momentum. Like, you realize he's got a three-hour break, right? Momentum can change.
And
coming from a guy who in 36 holes in a college tournament, like played the worst round of my life one day and then improved just grabbing a sandwich and then walking to the first tee, shot 16 shots better than the second round of the 36.
There, yeah, big swings. No, and I'll be honest, the commentary on the PGA Tour after a while, I'm like, did they really just say that? They're bad. They're so bad.
Like,
they're not even good.
No, but you listen to that and it's like, and I don't think I watched, I can't remember what I did. I turned it on to see that and then was just watching some things and then did something and then turned it back on. And I was like, whoa, I'm like, they're tied.
Yeah.
Cause he, in the first six holes, he bogeys three holes and Rory birdies three holes. Right. And then Sung Jae Im was right there too. And it's like, it's really not, especially cause he can get loose with his driver. Right. So yeah. Rory wins. He was helped out by a couple of, did you watch the highlights of his shot on 17 after he just airmails the green, the green out of the bunker,
the grandstand or
no. So that was 18.
That was 18. Yeah. He just hit a snapper hook,
but it gets
caught the wind.
And it gets there, but 17, he hits the shot and then hits the chip that hits the flag stick. It's going off the green. There's no question.
I didn't see that highlight.
So he hits a chip shot from after he just airmailed it. And anybody that says that, you know, they obviously play harder. But that thing goes another 20 yards if there's not fans back there to stop
it.
And he has zero chance of getting it up and down. And from where he was, he hits it, hits the flag stick, goes to about 12 feet and makes the putt. Great. Takes advantage of the break. Then the next hole just hammers it down there and then hammers it off the thing and then uses the rules to his advantage. The one thing that I don't understand about the drop that he took, I get that it bounced outside of the two club links, so he gets to place it. But when he placed it and it sat down, the rules official let him reset it.
Really?
But I'm like, I wonder, was it not in the exact spot that he set that? That he said it dropped.
If it nestled, here's the deal. What you do, and this isn't cheating, this is just using the rules. You're in a sticky situation, you've got to get this drop. You drop it right on the line, and knowing that it's gonna kick forward. And then you have to drop it again right on the line, knowing that it's gonna kick forward.
Yeah, he dropped it just inside the tee. He knew it was gonna kick out, right?
Yeah.
But then he gets to place it, but he placed it.
It like might have it. Nestled beyond the line.
But it went back. It didn't go.
Really?
It would have, to me, it looked like it was fine. It just sat down and he let him fluff it up. I'm like, well,
maybe you can do that on a place is it one of those things where once you let go of the ball, it is in play? Is that an official rule on a placement?
No, because it has to be. The only thing that I can think of, and like I said, it was not in the exact place. Like it rolled back out of the exact place it hit where it dropped, right? But I'm like, but where his hit where it dropped, it's not going to be a fluffy lie because his ball just hit there and it's going to compress that grass. Mm-hmm. But
so
whatever, hits it up there. I mean, even if it sat down, all he had to do was get it on the green in two putt. And I think he would have done that anyway, but it would have made it a lot more difficult from a ball that's nestled in that Bermuda over one that's sitting up.
Well, I will say this. The one thing he did do awesome was his putting. Like, he was putting fantastically. The putts that he was making, the saves that he was making, that putt on 15 – just that long birdie bomb that shouldn't have gone in, but it did. But I mean, he was canning stuff, so I mean, bravo to him.
No, yeah, it's like said, I'm all fine with it. Or was that 16? That was 16 when he hit it over the green. I keep thinking, I keep adding or taking away a hole. But yeah, the one thing that Scottie Scheffler didn't do was putt well. Oh my gosh, it was bad. And then Sung J.M. decides to go 18 handicap on a couple of chips. Just fluff, fluff, two right back to back and makes a double. Birdies the next two holes to get it back, but then is unable to get it up and down for birdie on 18. I mean, fun fact, the top three players, I'm doing air quotes because on the net side of it, the top three players on the net side of it, all parred the 18th hole.
Interesting.
Yeah, Sung Jae parred it, Scotty parred it, and Rory parred it.
Yeah. So,
which is crazy at that point, but.
I'd say one comment I'd like to make known is that I thought it was great that Mother Nature softened everything up and we weren't seeing 50 yards of roll. Like, yes. That was just so fulfilling to see a golf course play the distance that it should be played. Yeah. And Rory was carrying it 300. I mean, great driver of the ball. Good job. But he was not getting the roll that he was accustomed to. And there was a couple mud balls out there too, but I just thought that was great.
The only thing was, once you get there, the first three rounds, it was ball in hand, which helps out quite a bit. They didn't have it on the last day. So that was definitely something, but yes, there was no roll on it, but
and conversely, from experience,
it allows them yes.
From experience, there is no tour like the PGA Tour when you get ball in hand because, there was a light misting last night, ball in hand. Oh, the greens creeper, he cried on the 18th fairway, ball in hand. And it's incredible. But hey, the Utah Open. Oh, is that 7 hours of straight rain? No, you're playing it down, bud.
Yeah, that was
true story.
That is true. That is true. But conversely, that also made the greens really receptive too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. We need firm greens and soft fairways. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like we do. Not like ticket. Not like mud ball soft, but soft enough. And like I said, what, a quarter inch of growth on those fairways?
Oh, make all the difference.
And just a little softness. Then you got coming into those greens firm, added just a little bit longer fairways. So they can't nip them quite as easy. Let's have some fun, boys.
it really would be cool because then you're going to see some great ball striking. And the guys that miss it just a titch, it's going to cost them more. They're going to be bouncing green, you know, bouncing their ball off the back of the green. They're not going to be spinning it back like you'd expect. But when they're out there playing on pool table fairways, like, it's dumb.
Yeah. Well, and they put the thing up the week before about how Rory did that. And I sent you something on Instagram because every like thing about a long drive was Rory's long drive. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the PGA Tour Instagram, like get you somebody that loves you as much as they love Rory's long drive.
Oh my gosh. Got some
go for you.
And it was like as though they thought that was the most marketable aspect of the PGA Tour is Rory's long drives. Like, and any golfer that knows anything would sit back and watch that tournament and be like, the dude may have carried it over 300 like four or five times, but he got 50 to 60, maybe even 70 yards a roll on some of these holes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So it's just stop the roll. I'm going to make a golf hat. Like, make golf great again. Stop roll.
Make and golf soft again.
grow out the fairways for Pete's sake, yeah. You know? And anyways.
Let it grow. Just a fairway that's grow. A little.
Let it grow. So anyways, yeah, that, oh my gosh. It was cool to see the tournament played that way, right? And it hurt some other golfers, but still, conditions were conditions, and the best golfer won. So
yeah, and he was the best golfer. He putted the best. He didn't make, right, besides the first day. I mean, he triples the first hole. That's kind of been a thing, because we had Tom Kim quad the first hole of his tournament win a few weeks ago. But yeah, Rory makes it. He goes, I think he goes triple bogey, bogey. So he was 10 before, he was 10 shots back after him playing two holes and then coming back, right, for the win, which shows something. But like I said, I said this before, after he won the RBC, I'm like, he should be writing thank you letters to the LIV, because this is the most focused this dude's been in a long time.
I wonder who his like arch nemesis was, like the guy that always gave him trouble. I wonder if it was DJ.
Dude, I don't know. Just it could be.
I have no idea, but nonetheless, like, definitely it's opened it up, right? And there's some guys who you'd expect to even still continue to win that just aren't there or are not allowed to play.
Yeah. So. And who knows whether, like, say, we talked about this earlier, whether they will be ever allowed to play as long as Jay Monahan's on the thing. But my thoughts on it before, because then I'll make them public so that everybody knows if this happens. I think Jay Monahan's out after 2023. I think they're giving him a grace. I think the players feel like he totally mucked this up, right? And they're like, okay, we'll let you announce these changes and write out 2023 and then leaving on your own terms, right?
Yeah.
Is, I think, part of it, so.
No, it's got to be. Because, I mean, look at who's taking over this subsequent golf league and the announcements. I mean, the top 20 players meet. And I just got to say this now. Where is all this money coming from for the PGA Tour? They acted as though it didn't exist. And now there's new golf leagues here. There's new money there. There's new guaranteed this. The FedEx Cup doubled, blah, blah, blah. All they're talking about was money during the whole thing. Rory won $28 million and na-na-na-na-na.
I know.
And it's just
Well, that's another thing, right? Is like, wait a second. Now they're getting all this guaranteed money and they're raising all these purses. Why are they going to want to play? Because you can take second or third. What's going to be their drive to win?
Right. So
somebody said, and let's look at this. I'm going to look at this because I said it before. So we're going to look up. So yes. So, yeah, he's, and this was, I can't remember what it was, but it's, he at least has a 5-year, $100 million deal with Nike, which started in 2001. Yeah. And then after the second deal, so that was his first, so that wasn't even his first deal. So he's made I can't remember what his first deal was. So it was $40 million for 5 years in 1996.
Which was a ton of money.
That's what a lot of these guys are getting paid to play LIV Golf, right?
Yeah.
And then he got $100 million. Yes, that was because of performance. A lot of these guys, the reason they're getting paid $100 million was because of performance, of past performance, not based on future performance.
Yeah.
Past performance. So he got a $40 million deal right out of the gate. So did he stop wanting to win? No. Then he got a $100 million deal. Did he stop wanting to win? No. So it's not necessarily about the money. Just because you get a lot of money, because that one was for 5 years, right?
Yeah.
So 2006. Yep. So dude's made plenty
of cash.
From Nike, right?
Yeah. And, just the bottom line is Phil's right. In every aspect of the way, Phil was right. The players on the bottom were getting just hung out to dry. Phil was right. And now they're getting some guaranteed money here and there and better opportunities to get on the PGA Tour, more opportunities for the college players to get on the tour. I mean, everything just opened up this year. And then on the high end, all the guys that are important are getting paid more. Like, Phil freaking nailed it. And you can say he went about it the wrong way, like Rory did in a press conference. But I'll tell you what, with the way Monahan reacted, I think Phil went about it the right way and nothing happened. And he finally said, I'm doing this my way. And it got dirty quick. And guess what? Change happened.
Yeah. So, yeah. And Rory signed a, in 2017, signed a 10-year deal worth $100 million.
Huh. That's rough.
So, I mean, it hasn't stopped him from trying to win. Well, maybe it did. He sucked for a while.
He did suck for...
I mean, relative terms, right?
Well, yeah. He didn't. Rory never really sucked. It's just he sucked in comparison to early Rory, which was a major winning machine, right? Yes. Like, this guy was winning majors. And now he's just like, yeah, I'm content winning one or two PGA Tour tournaments a year.
So are they just doing it for the money, right? Are they playing golf for the money? No. And another thing is this whole TGL, Golf League of Tomorrow, whatever the heck, the co-sanctioned Rory and Tiger backed or Rory and Tiger venture. I wonder how much they're getting paid from the PGA Tour for this. And it's been in the works for a while. So
they're getting paid, man.
They're getting paid.
It's nobody... about the money.
Right? It's okay to set right? It's okay to set your family up, set future generations up. It's okay to make money. Like, it's okay. It makes, right? It can make life easier. It can make life harder. I mean, there's some things that are harder, but right? I don't see these guys turning down the money because they're like, well, you know what? I play to win tournaments. I don't need the money. Nope.
Well, the hypocrisy abounds, and bottom line is they're athletes. They should be paid dollars, even when maybe they don't have the best day. It's kind of different, but you know, there's NBA players that make the same on game 6 as they make on game 36 because of the contract that they have.
Bobby Bonilla is still getting paid. by the New York Mets. Do you realize that? He signed a deal that he gets like $3 million a year. It was some ridiculous. It's a ridiculous contract. He still gets paid for another few years. Like so, the way they structured it, but you're setting yourself right. Most of these guys love the game, right? There's some guys that play basketball that don't. I will give that. And there's some guys that play golf that don't love it. They're just good at it.
Yeah.
Right?
There's that.
And they may like the competition, but they don't. Like, if they could do something else to make money, they would. Like, to make the kind of money that they're making, they would. So, yeah, it's about the money, and it's okay that it's about the money. Yeah. But there's also golf involved in competition. It's an entertainment product. And as long as they're producing entertaining golf, I'm watching.
Yeah, not a true story. But, yeah, we won't be watching much more PGA Tour this year.
it'll be around, but I'm gonna watch Live over it this next week. I mean, although it is in your old stomping grounds, isn't it? This next week,
Live isn't, or
no PGA?
Oh, PGA Tour, yeah, Napa Valley. They're gonna play at Silverado Country Club. That was my high school golf course when I played on the high school team. So it's fantastic golf course, man. It's beautiful. It's challenging and definitely worth it. I'd love to make it out there for that, actually. And it's going to be in October.
Is it in October? When's the next? I thought they start like this. It's crazy. Like, don't they start like.
Maybe it's September.
Don't they start like this week, this next week? No, they've got to at least be a couple weeks off, right? Because you've got to get all the. That's what I was just pulling up.
September 16th. So they get a 2-week break. But the guys playing in that tournament actually had like a 4-week break.
not really, because they've got a. Actually just a 1-week break, because a lot of the guys that are playing are the ones that are moving on from the Corn Ferry, so they're playing this upcoming week.
There's some of that too, but yeah, Silverado, that's gonna be a fun one.
Oh, that was posted. 2021, just one second, you got to do 21 to 23.
Are they gonna adjust it?
Yeah, it'll adjust a little bit. The 15th, so it's still 2 weeks. It's still the same thing, but
yeah,
2 weeks. Because I was like, wait a second, Ryder Cup? That's not Ryder Cup.
No. President's Cup.
President's Cup in a month ish. But yeah, like I said, good for Rory. Wins it for the third time. Wins the FedEx Cup for the third time. It was a huge win for Rory. And the PGA Tour, right? This was like their fantasy. Like, they have wet dreams. They had wet dreams about this, this ending going into it. But the one thing that I don't understand from Rory's is why he has to just keep like talking. He's actually stoking it more than anything, right?
Oh yeah.
With his comments. Right, the 54 hole, you know, tournaments and stuff. I'm like, Rory, you know that they can just change that at any time, right? It's a pretty easy change if they want to.
Oh, it's hilarious, but yeah, I thought it was clever. I mean, I'll give them that. It was entertaining, but not necessary.
I mean, it's just like, if he doesn't care about it that much, right? If he still thinks it's the best tour, you know, if they ask him about it, but I don't think he needs to bring it up all the time, because then he's just shedding light of it. If he really wants it to just, that thinks it's a secondary league and just can go away, you know, he could just say, hey, they can talk all they want. We're the best players. We've got the best field, and then leave it at that, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to live. I understand the decision that if guys go, we're still the best tour, right? Best tour with the best players. So.
Well, I think conversely, though, he has shown a lot of negative commentary towards Liv because turns out he had an investment in the works that would need marquee players in to bring revenue. Yeah. So if he lost his marquee players because he had, been nice to the Liv tour, then his product would have been diminished, thus resulting in less ROI. So, yeah, I think there was some financial motive in the way he conducted himself about Liv, for sure, given the new TGL TMRW league.
Oh, wait. No, but it's for the good of the PGA Tour, Weston. Oh. He's got no ulterior motives. He as one guy that probably doesn't like the Liv, Andy Johnston from the the Friday calls him the Prince of Ponte Vedra. Right? He's like the golden child. So come on, it's about saving the tour. Weston.
I'll tell you what. One thing I know in this world is that the reason anybody does anything is because there's money.
Like in something like this, right? There are people that are, we're not that sin up. There are people that are genuine. There are people that do a lot of good. Rory probably does a lot of good. But I think in this case, it is not just about saving the PGA Tour.
No, not at all. And no, I mean, not everything's motivated by money, but he definitely will get a nice chunk of change out of it. I mean,
yeah.
I did have 5 kids. Well, I did not do that because I'm getting paid. So there are things in this world that don't have the ROI that you expected.
But on another note, side note from Tour Championship, Scotty losing a 6-shot lead's pretty, I mean, that's a big, that's the, ties the largest lead ever lost on the PGA Tour. And from the number one player in the world right now.
Yeah.
How does this affect him?
I don't think he's going to recover from it the way DJ does, but I think it'll be okay. It'll be okay. This isn't like Jordan Spieth collapsing on hole number 12 at Augusta and losing the Masters. But by no means was it that. I mean, it's a tour championship. Yeah, that's important. FedEx Cup, blah, blah, blah. This ain't no major collapse, right?
This isn't Rory hooking it into the cabins on number 10
at the Masters. Yeah, this is not Greg Norman melting down in the Masters and losing a 27-shot lead. So it's just, to me, they aren't even like comparable, especially when he got like the net lead with like starting at like -9 or -10. So
-10, yeah.
So it's like you start there and you don't win it because you had a bad week, right? He only ended up shooting like 11 under.
10
under. No, not 10 under.
Yeah. So he was back in like of the 30-man field. He was middle of the pack.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So
it, and to me, like you look at it that way and you take away the net championship aspect, and he wasn't even close to winning the tournament, and it was Rory's the whole time. So,
yeah. It was, they're like I said, Sungjae tried, but Sungjae, like I said, goes 15 handicap on a couple of chips from Bermuda rough. So that was that. But after all this, next year, well, and I don't know when they're implementing this, right? Are they implementing all these torch, these changes this upcoming year? Or is it because they, nothing's been set in stone, right? The new season starts in 2 weeks. Are they going to put these all in place in 2 weeks?
It's a good question. We'll see if they can actually get it done. They talked a lot.
Yeah, 500,000 guaranteed. Right now, all of a sudden, you're paying guaranteed money. But the one thing that they're doing is you have to earn. That's against earnings. That's not just you're getting 500 because you're playing on this tour, and then you get to make your earnings. No, you get to earn $500,000, or we'll pay the difference of it.
That doesn't sound like. Well, we're guaranteeing you 500 grand if you play the minimum amount of tournaments.
Yes.
Like, that's only appealing to, like, Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, 15 tournaments. And, like, John, the thing about it is some of these changes that they're making, like, John Rahm's like, wait a second, now I have to play in 20 tournaments because it has to be 15 PGA Tour tournaments, right? And the players and plus the four majors, right? So that's 20. And John only played in 18 this year.
Yeah.
So he's like, wait a second.
You're making me play more. If you want to make more, you got to work more.
And like I said, it's not like it's a ton of tournaments. And I think some of this is great, right? Everybody should add Phil Mickelson and Greg Norman to their Christmas list. Everybody that's going to the tour this year. Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Phil. You made me a lot more money this year.
Yeah. If you don't have Phil Mickelson in your prayers, like, get off the tour, because that guy deserves every bit of respect. And
he took heat. Right.
Oh my gosh. He took more heat than anybody's ever taken.
Yeah. Way more. And the thing that drives me nuts is you get somebody and they're like, oh, who's the biggest loss? Because you've got seven guys that are rumored to go, right? Tringali already confirmed that he had committed. Cam Smith, Leishman, Harold Varner. Joaquin Neiman. Let's see who else is on there. Got it here somewhere. Mito Pereira, I think, was one of them that they're thinking about going. On Rabban Lahiri, right? So, I mean, not like the top, but all up and coming. Joaquin's a pretty up and coming kid. He just played in the tour championship. Cam Smith's the number two player in the world right now.
There's a big move because, I mean, if I'm one of those marquee players, again, and I've said this before, you look at how the tour has reacted and adjusted and responded, and you're just like, this is a joke. I'm so tired of this. And that's Sergio. Like, Sergio had zero regrets because he's like, I am so sick of this tour. Like, I'm out.
Yeah. He's like out. I mean, there's a couple of guys who said they stayed, but like Phil Mickelson took the heat and Brandel Chamblee, and it's Brandel Chamblee is like, yeah, but he could have, like, I think Phil was, he could have just played on the Champions Tour a little bit. He could have made that, but he would just slid right into basically Faldo's seat, right? He would just slid right into Faldo's seat, and he could have been. I'm like, maybe he didn't want to.
No.
Right?
I have to work with Brandel. That's not the goal. Like, every amazing competitor wants to still compete. I mean, listen to Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech. The guy is like born and bred to compete, and feels the same way. I mean, that no secret that he had a gambling debt because of the competitive nature he had. So yeah, it's just he's wired to compete. Very rarely do guys sit in a booth and have fun with it. And some that do, that's great. Faldo, I mean, best way I could describe him is just like, you know, vanilla cake with no frosting in the booth. And there you go. But I don't think Phil want that. Phil would have competed on the senior tour, and that would have been amazing. I think I would have loved to watch more senior tour events.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's there, but it's like the guys in the Golf Channel, they're such homers for it's like, well, no, if you don't do the PGA tour, you don't do it exactly the way I would have done it, then it's the wrong way. Well, it's like, no, it's the way he's doing it. Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's funny. Like, I'll agree and disagree with Billy Horschel, but he did a interview because he was playing with Cam Smith, because I guess they're pretty good buddies. They go fishing a lot because they both live, I guess, by each other in Florida. But he was like, no matter what, he's like, if he goes, he's like, he's still going to be my friend and I'm still going to have his back. But he's also said other things about people who've went to the live, and it's, but I think that's more the attitude that you should have. It's like, yeah, they're going and they're pursuing this. It's great because they're making the decisions that's best for them right now. I'm not going to make that decision because I don't feel like that decision's best for me, but it's best for them. Right. I don't know.
Yeah.
More people need to be that, but it'll be interesting to see. I'm surprised that the LIV didn't come out right out this year, this time, right? And today and announce who was playing this week in Boston. But I think as much as it's like Norman has some serious animosity towards the PGA Tour, he was like, okay, I'm going to let Rory have his day. Right, he gets a day, and then Tuesday will be announcement day of whoever's going and playing in Boston, because supposedly there's set, well, you know, six since Tringali's confirmed it, but the one that there's two, right? Cameron Young was supposedly going. He's come out and said he's staying. And Matsuyama, supposedly, he's staying. I read an article that they're saying that he's staying.
I don't know if he'll stay or not.
Maybe he's just saying that, maybe he's leaning that way because he wants to play in the President's Cup team, and then he'll bail, right?
Yeah,
who knows? But speaking of President's Club, if Neiman leaves, Cameron Smith leaves, that's two huge players for the,
that you're pretty much, you got a team being led by Adam Scott.
Because who is that? Who is on? See, I was gonna pull this up and forgot to pull it up. President's Cup standings, international team. So is there anybody else who would be? So Hideki would be on there. So Joaquin, Mito Pereira would be another one that they would lose. So they'd lose one, two, they would lose three guys from that team.
Yeah.
And they've taken away Lahiri is is a 15. I don't know whether they would, they probably wouldn't choose him, but who knows? Who knows? You know, two Koreans maybe next, right? Sungjae and you could have, there's a possibility, I think, of all five of those top players on the international team to be out at some point.
Yeah.
On that. So
we'll see how it turns out. I am not too interested in a President's Cup. What I am more interested in is a PGA Tour versus LIV Cup. Oh, now that would be cool.
And that's where I think that Monahan is so short-sighted. Like, there is some, you talk about money generated. Can you imagine?
Oh my gosh.
This, like, because then it's just if you want to say, okay, yeah, we're not going to, you know, they can play. And if they're approved, they don't have a tour membership anymore. But if they want to apply to play in some of these tournaments because they qualify under the,
yeah,
the their rankings, right, or whatever, or past status, or whatever it may be, right, and there. But yeah, let's make this instead of the President's Cup, we're doing the I don't know, you could name LP some kind cup, of
the LIV PGA Tour. I mean, whatever you want to call it, but it's like the NBA of old when you had the NFL. It was the American Football League and the National Football League, and then they joined.
But they do something with the NBA and the ABA too?
Yeah, NBA, ABA. I mean, it's a competing league, right? And so there's tons of money for everybody, obviously. PGA Tour has proven that, and so is the LIV. Like, let's put a real tournament. Like, let's get this rivalry really going. Because I'll be honest, like, the President's Cup is like, wah. Well, maybe it's more like wah, wah. And the Ryder Cup, you can hate me for it, but it's more like, well, you know, it to the reason it had so much greatness to it was because back in the day, the European Tour was its own thing.
Yeah.
And the PGA Tour was its own thing. So you had this Euro PGA Tour rival between these tours that had no association with each other.
Yeah, there was some animosity.
Yeah.
Between that. And you may have some that crossed over, right? But they were like, hey, I'm primarily a Euro player.
Yeah.
Right? And not a PGA Tour player. This would be it, right?
Right.
If you would have that.
Oh my gosh.
Nah, it'd be so fun.
It would be amazing. And they could play it at, you know, some of these courses that the PGA Tour has boycotted. No, but it's just, it could be so much more and it could be really exciting. And the fact that they aren't taking an opportunity like that, like missed opportunity. Yeah.
It's there. It would like, you could do like little, if you really wanted to, you could do little one-off kind of shell wonderful world of golf and people would pay to watch it.
Yeah.
Dude.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, so much opportunity to grow the game in a positive way.
Totally. Totally. Grow the game. No, I just don't even read the comments on Instagram anymore. It's so lame. But yeah, there you go.
That's it. Well, not it, because we already talked in our notes, but we already talked about the Rory Tiger Venture, Stadium Golf, whatever. We'll see what comes of that. I'm not like super stoked about it. It doesn't get me.
So it's essentially excited. This. And I'm just painting this out there. It's an on-set production. When you come into the stadium, you are basically like the live audience watching a filming of Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And there's going to be TVs up there that say applause, and people are like, yeah.
And so the only way I want to watch this is if it's like, because people are like, I've heard some people comment, well, I play in a simulator league, a weekly game, and we love it. I'm like, well, yeah, that's because you're getting hammered. It's a beer league. It's a bowling league. I'm like, that's, I want right. to see it. Beers and cigars.
That's all it really, I mean, I anticipate it really just being that, like, we're going to watch Tiger play the only golf he can play, which is the one where he doesn't walk, and he can sit there and hit balls into a simulator, and it's going to be a target contest about who can hit it closest on the simulator. And it's just, to me, it's going to be a little too fabricated. I know they're going to see it as a very live event that's interactive and back and forth, but you kind of have to manage these things.
Yeah.
And these launch monitors are great, but you're going to get a misread.
Yeah.
You're going to get something that doesn't pop up.
And just wondering how they're going to do the putting. Because there's not a simulator that does putting really good.
Well, I mean, if they were to create one of those crazy movable floor simulators where the ground adjusts.
So then they changes. Do it live. Maybe that's what they're going to do. Yeah. Who knows? And then you'd have to get a bunker where you'd have to hit bunker to a shot because it doesn't play the same out of that. I don't know. There's a lot of things that they'll probably take care of, but yeah, it's still about making money.
I think that I shouldn't be too poo-poo about it, because when you get these types of ventures with enough money behind it, it does solve problems.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be pretty interesting. And this is just a side rant for me in simulators. Like, how frustrating is it to go into a simulator, hit it into the rough, and know that it's going to take distance off your shot, but the simulator won't tell you how much distance?
TrackMan gives you 8%.
Does it say this is 96%?
It says, like, it'll go 80% and then 92% spin. So it kind of gives you the shot that's coming out of there.
Okay. Well, there's something. Maybe I'm just used to foresight, but
yeah,
we can look at a lie and be like, oh, this ball ain't going nowhere. Oh, this is a flyer. This will give me an extra 5%. You can make those adjustments, but you can't do that on a sim. So you need that extra data.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I guess that could be the silver lining as this golf league advances golf technology to a rate that we just haven't seen before, and that would be really cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, I'm not like, I'll watch it because I'm like interested, but it's like, it's not something like, oh, I can't wait till this comes out. I'm like, yeah, when it happens, I'll watch it to see how they overcome all these the obstacles that we just mentioned. But
yeah, I mean, if we're being really honest, I'm guessing the Golf Channel is just drowning for content. They are absolutely scraping every last bit that they can find for any kind of legitimate content, and this would probably help them. But
is it going to be broadcast on Golf Channel, or is it going to be broadcast on like Prime? The one thing that they're doing with this, well, I guess it's not necessarily, because they'll do it where they're not competing with NFL. Because I'm like, if they do it where they're competing with the NFL, they're idiots.
Oh, they're going to die. Yeah, there is no way.
But yeah, we shall see. We shall see. But Ricky, did we talk? I thought we talked about Ricky splitting with his caddy, because it wasn't after his last event, was it? I thought it was before his final event. But Ricky splits with his caddy. Eventually, you knew it had to happen, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is it Scavro? Is that his caddy's name?
I don't know. I have no idea. So.
But he'll get on a bag. He'll get on a bag of some better player. So.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody who's making some money.
Ooh, snap.
Now let's go into the equipment part of it. Like, oh. I was kind of hoping that a little bit, just for our content, that Scheffler was going to win so that we could do too. What's in the bags, but.
Yeah.
We'll just talk about Adam Scott's seven wood.
So this is pretty cool. I mean, there's two things about this. If you follow Adam Scott, he posts a picture of his seven wood after one season. And obviously the wear mark is perfect. And it's Adam Scott. And he hasn't missed a shot with any golf club for 13 years. But the cool part about it is that Adam Scott is playing a seven wood.
Yeah.
And now this is why it's cool. It's not that Adam Scott number 98th on tour in distance is playing a seven wood. No, Adam Scott, like, top 10 on the PGA tour in distance. Not only is he one of the purest swingers and ball strikers, he's also one of the longest on tour. And here he is taking advantage of a seven wood. Like, if there was never an example that said everybody in the planet should be playing a seven wood, then, you know, I don't know what to tell you, because this is it right here. Like, Adam Scott playing a seven wood, everybody play a seven wood.
Yeah, it's worth a try. I will say that some, because I've done enough fitting, there's some people that hit hybrids way better than fairway woods.
So. Yeah. I guess, I mean, but, it's all in the golfer. I had some people be like, yeah, but I love hitting that low stinger. And I'm like, well,
that's great. When you have to fly it 230 over a bunker.
Why don't you that just doesn't work. Swing a driver easy into the wind? Turns out that's a better low stinger than you trying to nuke a 2-iron in the back of your stance. Like, you're going to hit so many better low stingers with easy swinging on a 3-wood or a 5-wood or a driver than you ever would with a 2-iron UDI or whatever. And, like, again, Adam Scott, his handicap is like +8. The guy is an absolute machine. So
it's worth a try for sure. So let's get to.
Mr. McIlroy. So he really doesn't change much, but we will go into some details on the golf clubs. So he's got the TaylorMade Stealth plus 9° in the Fujikura Ventus Black 6X. So great shaft. Probably has it tipped a couple inches there. And I mean, it's a Stealth. Everybody knows how good the Stealth is. But the little sleeper in the bag is his 3-wood, the TaylorMade Sim 2 titanium 15° with an 80TX in there with the Mitsubishi Kali. So that's pretty crazy that the new stuff hasn't enticed him yet, and he's still playing with the Sim 2 titanium.
Yeah, for the 3-wood for sure. Isn't this the one? Didn't he lose it? Like, didn't he? Isn't this the one that he threw or something and it got lost?
I was just going to say that. Like, the only time Rory McIlroy loses a golf club is because he threw it into some watery abyss.
Like, why am I? I'm pretty sure that he, it was at a, I don't know if it was, I think it was at a major where he threw it and it got lost in the woods and somebody found it. It was something. I can't remember what exactly happened. If we'd searched it, would be there, but that's something. But then he goes into the Stealth Plus in the 5-wood with back to the Ventus Black. So it just tells you that sometimes, right? Because he didn't go to the Ventus Black in the sim. Yeah. So there's gotta be some kind of, and it could be the weighting, right?
Head shaft combo.
Yeah, head shaft combo or flight, maybe flighting difference that he wants with with these ones because he does have it turned down just a touch with the 5-wood.
He is so stinking long that the 3-wood really is just a mini driver. And if it's a mini driver, you have to have forgiveness. And I think that's why he's sticking it with the Sim 2 titanium. Like the bigger, it's basically a mini driver. And he was smoking it. It's carrying it 280, 290 at the Tour Championship when he didn't want to take driver off the tee. So that's really essentially what that is. But the 5-wood, turned down a little bit. It's kind of something he can attack more. I love it. The irons, TaylorMade Brewers Proto 3-9. These heads are CNC milled for Rory McIlroy, each one individually. So, and the benefit of that is he basically gets to choose his groove pattern that best suits his game on his irons. And tour players have, as of late, have been able to get the kind of grooves that they want that works best for their game. So that's where some of that proto aspect comes into play. But he's been playing those particular irons ever since he came on to TaylorMade. So he has not been switching it up for good reason.
He likes them.
Yeah.
What do you think? GolfWX needs to update their pitcher. They still have a Sim driving iron pitcher.
Yeah.
I was looking at that. I was like, that is not a but yeah, so then he goes there, like I said, no changes there. The Project X 7.0s. Then the MG3 Raws, but he goes 46, 54, 60. So he kind of cuts out. He's got bigger gaps, right? He's got a 8-degree gap in that. And they mentioned that because he had a shot that would have been Azinger, would have been perfect for this club. So, kind of just does his gapping a little bit different. Another person who does gapping a little bit like this is Phil Mickelson, but that's because he throws in a 64 degree at the bottom instead of adding one in the lower clubs, like a 3-iron and to go along with the 5-wood. Mickelson does it because he adds a 64 degree.
And the 46, I don't know how much stronger Rory's irons are. I'd probably have to look it up to find some stats, but I think the way the wedge flight goes is because it's not a blade, the way his blades are actually made, they don't come off as hot as his irons would. And so you have to give it just a couple more degrees to get the flighting and the weighting right and everything, because typically those wedges might have a little bit higher CG, which means they'll spin more. So if you give it a little extra loft, it kind of gives it the flight that you'd expect out of it and takes off a little bit of spin. I don't know. It's just kind of a technical thing. So it probably plays more true to like a 47 or 48.
It definitely could, right? And it could be just, and he wants it in the raw, so he just gets a little bit more feel, a little bit more playability with that hitting shots that he does.
And then, he's been changing up his lob wedge just depending on the tournament. So in this particular event, he went with the 60 LB07, which is a tour only grind and bounce release. I think the only one available is the 60 LB08 on the website, but the 07 has a very unique grind to it. And if I were to describe the grind, I would say it looks like a Vokey T grind. And I'm not pulling any chains here. Like, it legit looks like one.
Yeah, they don't give a very good look of it on the WRX website. But, just for the back end.
What I know is that there's more trailing edge relief than there's bounce on the front of that wedge. So that just means you can really lay it open. And the way the golf course was playing, felt like this one was just going to work best because he usually has a 58 in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
So to see that 60 LB, pretty cool having him switch it up before he drops it in the bag.
Yes, sir.
And then finishing off with the TaylorMade Spider Hydro Blast.
Which is, yeah.
It's a spider.
It's a spider. Nothing great about it. So, and he's playing the 2021 ball, which I've like actually heard not good things about this ball.
Yeah. I wonder if it's just habit, really, because for me, when the TP5X came out, the one thing that was interesting that I found it hard was getting it to spin around the greens. And I felt like the 2021 was that, but they improved that in the 2022. Yeah. Could be wrong, but that's what I feel like. And so I have been interested in trying it again. But I care more about greenside control than anything else.
Yeah. And I actually heard like flights of the balls with the new one they didn't like. So a lot of my buddies who were playing that ball are like, well, I'm down to my last sleeve of the old ball.
Oh.
Because they didn't have the other one. But
that's a sad era.
It is.
But yeah, I think they're going to get things better. They've been adjusting, they've been growing. Obviously had great success with Rory and many other players this year, but I think from an equipment standpoint, they're doing great on their woods, of course, and doing pretty good on irons. Their wedges have taken it up a notch, and I think it's time for their putters to see an improved
to step up to the plate.
Yeah, time to step up. And then the golf ball, obviously looking to make new improvements. And I think they ended up buying their own factory so they could tighten things.
Yeah, which is the only way to do it.
Yep, it is. Got to own it. So I'd say good things coming from TaylorMade. I think they got their head on right. So
yeah. Well, end of a season. It sounds weird, but end of season. So everybody, thanks for sticking with us. And we'll, like I said, it won't be too long. We're going to have to do another. We're going to have to do one next week. So
yeah, it'll be. It don't stop for us.
It don't stop for us, but it is the end of the season. So we'll start anew with the Live Tour. It'll be the only game in town. I think there's like an LPGA tournament, but we'll see how that one goes. I think it might be their season ender. So, but for this is our season ender. Thanks everybody, and until next time, we're out.
Adios.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Birdies and Bogeys. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe, leave us a rating and review, and until next time, have a great week.